center and open. Just take a breath and remind yourself why you decided to come today. Whether you came here of your own free will or you were dragged by a friend. Or whether the Holy Spirit brought you. The Course in Miracles says that the attitude of mind that opens you up to a higher level of knowledge is really basically based on one idea. That what you know may not be all there is to know. If you're willing to admit that what you know may not be all there is to know, then you have the attitude that's required to open your mind to another level of consciousness and knowledge and love. And the only thing to remember is that you need not believe the ideas, you need not accept the ideas, you need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist, some of the ideas you may find hard to believe, and some of the ideas you may find to be quite startling. You are not asked to judge and analyze the ideas at all. The Course in Miracles teaches that if you will use the ideas, if you will apply the ideas, you will see that the ideas are true. It's the use of the ideas that will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that they are true. So be on the lookout for your special message today. It may be just one sentence that you hear. It may be something that, a comment that you hear somebody else say. But that could be the reason why you were here today, just to hear that one thing. So don't worry so much about what you don't understand or what you don't agree with, since it's not necessary to believe it anyway. Just be on the lookout for your message from your own higher self that is trying to give you, maybe through something that I may say, something the Course may say, or something that someone around you may say, or just through some realization that you may make just in listening. And you'll know when you heard your revelation, because you'll feel a lightening of your chest. You'll feel kind of, you'll have like an aha moment. And then when you get that answer, I would invite you not to destroy it by analyzing it to death. Because that's one of the best ways that we get rid of our guidance, is our ego mind begins to break it into little pieces. So, we're going to be on page 86. I'm going to read it, the paragraph in the book first, and then we'll come back and we'll see what the message is. And remember, you're looking for your message, not necessarily to understand everything. It's time and eternity, section 6, chapter 5. First, I'll read it to you the way the Course has it, and then I'll give you the Course in Miracles definitions for those terms when I go back through it, kind of give it a modern language version. I love this material. It says, God in His knowledge. God in His knowledge is not waiting. But God's kingdom is bereft while you wait. All the sons of God are waiting for your return, just as you are waiting for theirs. Delay does not matter in eternity, but delay is tragic in time. You have elected to be in time rather than eternity, and therefore believe you are in time. Yet your election to be in time is both free and alterable. You do not belong in time. Your place is only in eternity, where God Himself placed you forever. So the Creator, in its knowledge, isn't waiting. But the kingdom, which the Course describes as perfect joy, our reality, is bereft while you wait. All the creations of love are waiting for your return to love, which is our reality, just as you're waiting for theirs. Delay doesn't matter in eternity, but delaying your happiness, delaying your peace, delaying your love is tragic in time. You have chosen to be in time. You may not realize it, but you have elected. You went to the voting booth of reality, and you could vote for to be in constant, everlasting joy that never ends, or to be in time, which is the bodily condition, which is, the Course says, time is simply a place where there are beginnings and endings, and everything goes in cycles, and it's temporary. That's being in time. It says that we have chosen to be in time, but the cool news is, even though we elected to be in time rather than to be in our eternal spiritual state, He says we believe we are in time because we've chosen to be in time. We know time is an illusion because we just had a classic example of that just this morning.
Yeah.
We all got together and decided to kick an hour back, right? And then we came, you know. So we alter time any time we get ready. They're debating now about, you know, starting daylight saving time earlier and ending it later. So time is a concept we made up. So we've elected to be in beginnings and endings. And so the Course says, but you can choose to know your eternal nature. You can choose to get in touch with who you really are beyond your identity that appears to be in time. He says you don't really belong in time. You really don't belong in a place where things end, including you. And so the Course says, your place is only in eternity, which the Course defines eternity as a state of constant joy, because who would want to live forever unless it was going to be in constant love? So it says joy and eternity goes together, just like time and pain and pleasure goes together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he says our place is only in eternity, where our Creator placed us forever. But we've chosen to believe we're in time, and so therefore we think we are in time. And so we delay our awareness of our true spiritual identity by our focus on being in time, which is the same as saying being in a state where we think we're just human bodies that come here, grow old, and die. That's a perception of who we are. The Course in Miracles is teaching us that we are only love. We are only spirit. That's where we really are. So we're really spiritual beings having a human experience who've actually forgotten that they have a spiritual identity. And now our human experience seems to be the only experience that we have. We get locked into it because our perception always only validates what we believe to be true. So everything witnesses to us that we're just these limited beings that are out here trying to make it. And so we forget our spiritual identity because we become totally caught up in survival mode. So then our life is just about, can I make the money to pay my bills, Hopefully, can I get somebody to love me? And there are a few material things I like to have and a couple of trips that would be cool for me to take. And then it's all about that, right? And then we make up what we think is going to make us happy, right? And then we spend our time pursuing that, right? And then we get upset with people who don't help us in our goal, and we call them non-supportive, right? And then sometimes we have to forgive them because it looks like they won't play the role that we've set up that they're supposed to play in the script that we've written for our own selves. And that's what really most grievances are. They're just, I've decided that you should be a certain way in order to fulfill some need I have, and you're not doing it, so now I'm mad at you. So the Course is saying, in all of this perpetual fear of survival, fear of danger, fear of being taken care of, it locks us into a perception of ourselves that we forget our true identity as unlimited spirit. And now we're just people trying to make it, who've fallen asleep, as the Course calls it, to who we really are. Okay, everybody with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a miracle. That's a miracle right there. It's the fact that everybody say, understood what the hell I just said. Okay, now can you explain it to me? Okay, so any comments or any questions about what that paragraph is saying? Now, are you clear about what it's saying? Are there any ahas, any questions about that paragraph?
If we choose to be in time, and then some people choose they are tired of time and they off themselves and then they're out of time, is that cool? Is that okay? I mean, like the church, you know.
I don't know. That's a theoretical issue. In theoretical issues, the Course says, are just a way to delay the application of the truth right now. Right. So why do you think that would be a delay in maneuver? You know why? Okay. What makes it a delay in maneuver is that it's something you can't prove. And anything you can't prove right now is a delay in maneuver, because what it does is it keeps you from accepting the truth that you could apply right now. So I could give you an answer based on what the Course says to what you said, but I can't prove it to you. Would you like that?
Oh, sure.
Okay. You're innocent, you're innocent, you're innocent, you're innocent, you're innocent,
yeah.
You're innocent, you're innocent. You off yourself, you're still innocent. It may be a mistake in terms of your awareness of the truth, because if you were aware of the truth, you wouldn't feel a need to commit suicide. You would just get in touch with your spiritual identity, get in touch with your inner guidance, let the God within you instruct you what to do, correct your perception, and have a healing, and there would be no reason to take yourself out. So if you take yourself out, it's just absolute proof that you think you're just a body and you lost sight of your spiritual identity, because you don't have to kill yourself to be in touch with your reality. But from a Course perspective, it's not a sin either, because it can be corrected, because sooner or later, as a spiritual being, you're going to come into the realization of your unlimited power, and that you are a child of God, and that love is the only reality. So what did you just do? Well, basically, you just did a little delaying maneuver. You know why? Because you can destroy your body, but you don't destroy your consciousness. It's your consciousness that's creating your perception of reality. So your consciousness would just recreate another reality that reflects where your mind was. That's how you ended up here, by the way. You were born into a reality that reflected the consciousness that you had before you came here. You just recreated your consciousness. The Course says birth is not a beginning, that birth is a continuation. We just continued here. And then our job is whatever place it looks like we are, our function is to let go of the blocks to love within us, so that love will come through us and create a loving experience in whatever environment that we're in. And then we just spend the rest of our life allowing ourselves to give and receive more and more love, give and receive more and more joy, give and receive more and more love until we go to this time for us to move out of this experience. And then we go back to the reality that we came from, enhanced with more love than we had when we came in the first place. That's what the Course says. Can I prove that to you? No, but it sounds a hell of a lot better than the devil with a pitchfork waiting for me to stab me in my butt for an eternity and burn me up. You know what I'm saying? That sounds like a concept a guilty mind would love. To me.
Me too.
That's what, you know. I mean, why would I want to believe my Creator would want to punish me forever and ever and ever and ever unless I thought I was really guilty? So people who don't love themselves at a subconscious level really love the punishment thing, especially when it looks like it's somebody else that's going to get it. There are very few people that when they make a mistake, they don't want to be forgiven and helped. But when somebody else makes a mistake, the judgmental man wants that person to be hung from the highest tree. But if I make a mistake, I want y'all to kind of work with me, look over it, give me some help. But if you do something wrong, I want you to be condemned and punished. And we don't realize that anything you apply to somebody else in your mind applies to you. So anything you want for somebody else, your mind is going to assume you want that for you too, or you wouldn't want it for somebody else. And so you end up attracting to you the very things you want for everybody else.
Mercy.
I love my ex-husband so much. God, I love him.
Well, it's what you're telling yourself behind what you're saying this, because you're going to say.
You know what?
I know you do. I know you didn't want me to set up for 12 years. It's amazing how much you listen to somebody you want to shut up. It's called a relationship.
Yeah,
sounds pretty typical.
Yeah,
we, a lot of times we're in relationships with people for a long time and we wish they shut up.
Yeah.
We keep coming back for more.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody just asked me the other day, you know, why is it that, you know, we seem to be so attracted to the people who reject us, and then the people who love us don't seem to get a whole lot of our attention or our energy, you know. And the Course says that the fearful, separated ego mind is attracted to rejection because it's attracted to what it thinks is missing or what it lacks. So someone that's rejecting me, when I think that I'm not really whole and complete anyway, are really responding to my own self-image anyway. They're just treating me the way I feel like I deserve to be treated because I'm not enough anyway. So all of a sudden their validation becomes important to who I think I am, because I think they're reflecting back to me something that I believe about myself anyway at a subconscious level. But if I don't love myself, I can't respond to somebody who loves me. The only thing that I'm going to do with somebody who loves me when I don't love myself is respond with fear and suspicion. So people, the Course says people who have a deeply fearful mind run away from love and run toward fear. But they'll call the fear love. And isn't it amazing how much you can think you're in love with somebody that you're afraid of and you feel insecure of and you feel jealous about and you wonder what they're doing and where they're going, yet you say in the same sentence, I really love them. Where if you were to just look at it objectively, everything about your behavior is a behavior of fear. It's not reflecting anything about love at all. You know, how could you love me and fear me? And that doesn't go together. The Course says that won't fly. You can't love me and fear me. You can't love me and be afraid of losing me. They don't go together. So this paragraph basically said to us that, hey, you know something? You've chosen to be in time. You've chosen to be in the situations that you have beginnings and endings and ups and downs and pain and joy. But it is possible. It is possible, but not through your own mind, not through your own ego. But it is possible to have a reality that is totally safe, that is totally loving. But the book says over and over again, you don't know how to do that, and you can't create that reality. You know, any more than the cow creates the grass that sustains it. The same thing that created the cow is the same thing that created the grass that feeds the cow. And we forget that. We think we created ourselves, so we have to take care of ourselves. And the book is saying, you were created by a loving creator, and that creator is not fearful, that creator does not attack, but that creator does not operate the way that you've learned to think, and therefore you don't see what you think of as evidence of that creator, because that creator doesn't operate the way you think.
Wow.
So that's why it looks like God isn't around, because God doesn't operate the way we do. Love doesn't operate the way we do. And so when I read this book, it just makes so much sense to me. So it's not about do I know how to live eternally? Okay, it's not about that. It's about, am I willing to choose to live eternally in love? That's what our responsibility is. Our responsibility is to make the choice. Like I said, the election, the choice, is free and alterable. So no matter what kind of situation we created for ourselves right now, The book says you can choose for another situation. I don't care what kind of situation that you're going through that's causing you any kind of conflict in your life right now. You can choose for peace. I don't care how you got there. I don't care if it was related to your childhood, your marriage, whatever. As a matter of fact, the Course says the way you got here doesn't even matter. It no longer even can serve you. That the purpose of everything you've gone through up until this moment that you're sitting up right here was to bring you to this point for you to choose once again. That's the only reason why you went through anything you've gone through, is to get you to this point right now where you make a choice about whether or not you're going to continue to have peace in your life or you're just going to keep the conflict and drama going. He says some people come here and come to that point in the road and they choose to go back one more time and they make the circle one more time and then they come right back to the same point again and they go, God, I got to make the same choice again. I'm right back in the same, different form, same stuff. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh.
It's just another flavor of the same cake you've been eating ever since you've been on the planet. Mm-hmm. And you know that. The names change, but the consciousness stay exactly the same. The names change, but it's basically the same. We know our pattern. We know those areas that seem to work out pretty easily, and we know those patterns that we seem to go through over and over and over again, you know. Like I've often said about relationships, you know. You've only had one woman in your life, or you've only had one man. That's all you've ever had is one. And they just change bodies, and he changes names so that you'll get another fresh opportunity, you know, for a minute. You know, she'll change her body, and she'll change her name, but then after a little while, you'll notice you're dealing with the same issue you've been dealing with for like 900,000 lifetimes. But sometimes it's good to choose out of the relationship so that you can temporarily think you've made a change long enough to maybe effect a change in your consciousness. Because sometimes you can have ideas about people that are so deeply rooted that you just can't change your mind with that person. And so you have to choose out of that relationship because you really feel like you're making a fresh start with somebody else, that you'll let yourself look at it differently. But if you don't apply the truth quickly, you'll find the same old pattern on the surface again in the new relationship. It's like moving from one town to the next. When you first move, it'll definitely feel like you said you got a fresh new start. But if you don't take advantage of that fresh perspective, you all know that within a year, you'll start seeing the same patterns popping up in the new place you've moved to as you were experiencing the old. So giving yourself fresh environments and fresh people, that's a good idea only if you start to use the truth now. Or else you're going to slip back in the same fear.
What is using the truth?
It is taking responsibility for every single thing that you are experiencing, learning how to get rid of the blocks to listening to your inner guidance, and most of all, using the guidance that you receive. That's new. That's it. That was new. Oh, that. Yeah, because looking at a recipe will not make the cake. Right? And so people come to spiritual classes, look at the recipe, get mad at the recipe, say the recipe don't work, and then go to another class and get a new recipe. And then they say that don't work, and then they go to another class and get a new, but they don't realize all they're doing is looking at the recipe. They're not baking the cake. They're not using the information. You know. It's like wanting to build a house, going to the hardware store, buying a bunch of hammers and nails. And then you come home and then you throw the hammers and nails on the floor and wait for the house to be built. That's all the books we read. Right? And then all of a sudden you're watching and you say, dog, the house not being built and I got all these hammers and nails on the floor. Got all these books, all these workshops, all these classes. I know what I'll do. I'll go back to the hardware store and get some more hammers and some more nails. Can you relate?
I've done that.
Okay, we do. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. I see it all the time as a teacher. I see it all the time. The people come to classes, they analyze ideas, they don't apply the ideas, get disgusted, say it doesn't work, and they never use them. So, but you know something? There's a limit to pain. And what's so cool about that is when you reach your limit, it won't be a matter of motivation anymore. That's how I can tell a person really is miserable, because they have endless, endless time to analyze and debate it. That means they really don't have a problem. Really. The person that's got time to analyze all the time is certainly not the person that really is in have reached their limit. That's the person who really don't have no problems, that's letting their ego keep them from seeing that they're in a peaceful enough reality that they can sit around and debate whether or not they're going to use the truth. The only way that could possibly happen is you must be in basically a pretty cooled out reality. But I guarantee you, if this building was on fire, you would not be arguing with the firemen about how the fire got started. You would get the hell out of here. And then once he got you out of the building, you might sit back then and go, okay, how did that fire get started? But I bet you anything, that would not be the thing on your mind when you're standing on the ledge.
No.
On the ledge, you're going to want to get out of the fire. So if you got time enough to try to analyze how your fire got started, you're not really in a burning building.
Okay.
You're in the burning building in your mind. You're not in the burning building in reality. So that's why the Course says most people are only wondering about what's going to happen in the future and what happened in the past. And they're never really dealing with the issue that's right before them. And that's where the fear is coming from. The fear of the future and remembering what you did in the past. And that can only be happening in a moment that you are safe enough. Think about this. You have to be in a moment that you are safe enough to think about the future and to think about the past. You have to be like this, sitting in a safe place, thinking about what's going to happen to you this week. See, that's the only way, else you'd be like, I'm on it. What'd you say? I'm going to do that right now. You know, it's okay, I don't even understand it, but I'm going to try.
But what if you just feel totally clueless?
Well, if you feel totally clueless, you're in a very high state. Because that means your mind is open to receive. You don't have a preconceived notion of what the answer is. So now spirit can really help you. Because the people that's hard to help is the ones who already have made up their answer. Then they ask the question. Then they get mad when the answer isn't what they made up the answer to be. And of course, that's why we get angry. Because when we get an answer from spirit, if it's the opposite of the answer we've decided, then we feel attacked and we get angry. Or we don't hear the answer. So we just keep asking the same question over and over again because there's a certain answer we're looking for. And you haven't said it yet. So we learned, the Course teaches us how to tell the tricks of the mind that bring you fear so that you won't fall for it. But drama kings and queens, whenever they're listening to answers that get them out of fear, they go unconscious and go to sleep. Because if they were conscious, they would hear the answer that would get them out of the conflict. If I don't think I deserve to have peace, I'm not going to stay conscious enough to hear the answer. Because if I heard the answer, I get out of the situation. So I have to go unconscious in order to keep the pain going. No, there's no such thing as going unconscious on the answer that you really think you need in order for you to be happy. So why would you go unconscious if you were receiving the answer to something you want more than anything on earth? You wouldn't.
Yeah.
You wouldn't.
That hit me, right, you know, as far as going unconscious.
Yeah.
Because I can go unconscious with food. You know, I can eat it till I'm unconscious. I thought I just had this small pot.
Well, everything in the world is neutral.
Yeah,
so
know,
you know, so you can either use it to make you go to sleep and lose awareness of your identity,
yeah.
Or you can use it to wake yourself up. It depends on you. Nothing in and of itself is bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you choose to use it. It's how you're going to choose to use it. And the Course says what we do is we single out certain illusions. And we said some of the illusions are okay and some of them not. And then it varies from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll condemn pot, but then on the other hand, you know, I'll eat 9,000 pieces of chicken tonight. And I think that's cool. You see, I got the illusions that I like. Even I could kill myself with 900 pieces of chicken as quick as I could with smoking 2 pounds of pot. But one of them, the Course calls it the special form of fear that you like. So this is my special form of fear that I like, so I make that okay. And then the one that I want to use to make myself feel superior will be whatever somebody else is doing that I can judge and criticize. Because the Course says that's my way of making myself special and superior. You know. So, oh, I'm not like you. See, I don't drink. I'm much more spiritual than you. I don't eat meat. I'm very spiritual. See, it's all ego. It's all ego. You know, vegetarians catch colds, so do people that eat meat. You know what I'm saying? So it's really about doing what feels right for you. Then if it feels right for you to be a vegetarian, then you do that because that's what your inner self is telling you to do and you need to honor yourself. But if you want to use it to delay yourself, then what you do is you become a vegetarian and condemn everybody else. Then you're attacking yourself. You're darkening your own consciousness, and then you attract corresponding events, and then you're the vegetarian that can't pay your bills. You know, you'll attack yourself one way or another. Because it's all about not attacking.
Yeah.
you know, I don't have to do what you're doing, and at the same time, I don't have to attack myself because you're doing it. I'm going to attack myself because you're doing it. And that's what I'm doing when I want to condemn you. I'm attacking myself because of what you're doing. That doesn't sound sane to me after studying the course 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Now, this next paragraph is a trip. Anybody else before I go to the next paragraph? I'm sorry. You're innocent. You deserve to be loved. You can be loved. You can be healed. You can be happy. You can be guided. I'm sorry, but that's just the truth. Forgive me for saying you deserve to be happy. And then no matter what you do, you could be healed. Ah, it's rough.
Well, can't those around you be healed?
Yeah, they can be healed too. You know. The course would call our false perception. That's what it wants us to do. That's its number one defense, the course says, is to tell you that everybody else is the problem. That's the number one way you keep your pain and illusion going. You just hit the core. That's it. If somebody else changed, then I'd be okay. I've been working on that one really hard. Okay, now let's talk about the next paragraph here. It says, guilt feelings are the preservers of time. Guilt feelings induce fears of retaliation or abandonment, and thus guilt feelings ensure that the future will be like the past. Your future being like your past through guilt feelings, this is the ego's continuity. Now, what is the ego? The ego is what?
Your personal collection of beliefs.
Your personal collection of beliefs that are based on fear. The ego is the part of me that thinks it's separate, and the ego is the part of me that thinks it could be in danger, and the ego is the part of me that's afraid. The ego is the part of me that thinks there's a me and there's a you, and I got to look out and be on the lookout for what you might do. Mm-hmm. That's the ego. That's what the course is. That separate man. It's the man that thinks it's separate. Everybody got one?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, what keeps that separate man going? Well, that's what he's telling us right now. He says, believing that your future will be like your past gives your ego a false sense of security by believing that you cannot escape from it. But you can escape from what? Your fear. And you must escape from what? Your fearful thoughts. That's the ego. God offers you the continuity of eternity in exchange. When you choose to make this exchange, that means what? It means you will simultaneously exchange your guilt feelings for joyful feelings. You will exchange the viciousness that you perceive for love, and you will exchange your pain for peace. My role, which is the role of the higher self, is only to unchain your will and set your will free. Your ego, your fearful mind, your suspicious mind, your mind that's learned everything that the world teaches, cannot accept this freedom. I want you to hear that. Your ego cannot accept this freedom, and your ego will what? Oppose your freedom at every possible moment. The part of you that is unloving, or the part of you that feels guilty, or the part of you that feels afraid will oppose your freedom in every possible way.
Wow.
And as the maker of the part of you that's afraid, as the maker of the part of you that gets angry, as the maker of the part of you that believes in lack, as the maker of the part of you that believes in separation, you recognize what your ego can do because you gave your ego the power to do what it does. See, one paragraph. This is a trip in this book. So let's go back and hear that. Because it's awesome. Okay, first of all, we said that what we need to do is get in touch with our identity beyond time, the part of us that's love always. But he says feeling guilty is the preserver of your ego, the preserver of time. He says why? Because when you feel guilty, you become afraid of some type of retaliation or punishment. I did something wrong. I might be punished for it. He says, thus you're ensuring that your future is going to be just like your past, because you're projecting the fear that you've gone through in the past into the future. And then you relive it. I look back, I feel guilty, I feel afraid, I wonder what's going to happen to me, and then I recreate it because I'm focusing on it right now. So I'm taking the fear that's already gone because of something that happened to me in the past, I'm focusing on it right now, and then projecting it into the future, and then I relive it. He says this gives your ego a false sense of security by believing that you can never escape from feeling afraid. You're going to always have something to be afraid of. You're going to always have something to be on the lookout for. You're going to always have to, see what I'm saying? The average human being believes that they're going to always have to be on the lookout for some kind of danger of what might happen to them. Right? I mean, everything he says is true. He says, but, he says you can escape from this fear, and you must escape from this fear. Yeah, if you ever want to be happy, you're not going to be happy afraid all the time. You're not going to be happy afraid of relationships. You're not going to be happy afraid of everybody around you. You're not going to be happy if you think you're going to be punished for every single thing you've ever done in the past. He says, if you want to be happy, if you want to know your eternal identity, if you want to know love that you truly are, he says you must escape from these fearful ideas that you have about yourself that are not true. So then he says, when you choose to make this exchange, then the man says, what does he mean by that? Well, he's just saying that you got to be willing to exchange all these feelings of guilt and say, hey, you know what? I'm willing to learn how to let go of these feelings of guilt and exchange these feelings of guilt for feelings of innocence. You know what? I'm tired of being vicious. I'm tired of experiencing viciousness. I'm tired of being defended all the time. I'm willing to change my defended nature for a nature that's full of love. Yeah, it's a choice. I got to make a choice, because happiness is a decision. It is not an external condition. You will never be happy after that next thing gets handled that you are hoping will get handled in your physical world. You know, and that's what my ego tells me all the time. You know, it tell people, if you just lose 20 pounds, you're going to be happy. If you can just get that raise, you're going to be happy. If you can just get that soulmate, you're going to be happy. If you can just get all your bills paid off, you're going to be happy. If you can just get that car note taken off, if you can finally have an orgasm, you're going to be happy. You know what I'm saying? If you have liposuction, you're going to be happy. The Botox, you're going to be happy. You know, if I move to another part of the country, I'm going to be happy. If I could just get my mother-in-law to see me different, I'd be happy. If I could get my father to acknowledge that he really didn't recognize me as a child. See what I'm saying? It's like the Course is saying, no. One day, you're going to realize on the spiritual path that you're only going to be peaceful when you decide that you're going to be peaceful. That, in other words, you know what? I don't care what's happening in my world right now. I'm not letting anything else upset me. I'm going to keep my peace no matter what's going to happen today, because I'm not silly enough to believe that if I continue to try to rearrange and manipulate everything outside of me and everybody outside of me, which is an impossible task, then finally I feel good. Because my life experience has taught me on this planet that every time I achieve a goal, I'm not completely satisfied and I come up with something else that I think I need in order to be happy. My life experience has taught me that I'm always seeking one thing after another, no matter, even if I get what I want, I'm not satisfied for more than a day, and I'm on the hunt again. So a conscious being is a being who sees that they're running their game down on themselves, and they consciously decide that they're going to have a life full of preferences.
Oh, that's good.
They're going to have a life full of preferences, but not a life full of demands.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to have ego, and I don't want to have a vicious thought. But when you've had a betrayal and someone has undermined you and taken your business and done wrong, and I'm not trying to play God, but how do you overcome putting things in this problem? My weakness has been that I've never stood up to someone and made them accountable for their actions. Mm-hmm. And now I'm seeing, after being tripped up, you know, when I was a single woman for 8 years and I raised myself up, and then I let another one person mm-hmm. back in my life, mm-hmm. and I let that, you know, I didn't take control over my money and my mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. And now I'm, you know, brought back to Colorado. I moved away not too long ago to Texas to just kind of stay in limbo, because mm-hmm. I've been powerless over. Mm-hmm. Maybe not powerless, just didn't mm-hmm. know what to do. I just mm-hmm. stayed in state of prayer. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I've come back to Colorado and I'm dealing with the facts. But, it, you know, I'm feeling alone and it's too big for me. I know Spirit's going to have to either intervene or something. I don't want to, you know, I don't want the ego to be in the way, but I want truth.
You want the truth?
I'm a little angry that you know, that justice has prevailed and attorneys haven't done me right.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do I let go of...
Okay, that's a classic example of what I'm talking about. Okay. Regardless of whatever has happened to you, I don't care what it is.
Okay.
What you want to remember is that the way that you are feeling right now, sitting in that chair, you are the one that's making yourself feel that way. Just stop right there, just for a second. I want you to just be with what I'm saying. I don't care if the person swindled you. I don't care if the lawyer isn't acting right. No matter what's happening out there, the way you are feeling right now about it, you are the one that's determining that feeling. And that, okay, you're right, that feeling that you're having is coming from your interpretation of what's happened to you. What's making me feel bad is that I believe that I have been done wrong. That the thought that I believe that I am a victim of this other person. Now forget the law. The law. Okay, remember every time your mind goes out there, okay, you lose your power. Every time you go, remember what I said. No matter what looks like is happening on the outside, if it looks like you have the lawyer that messed you around, don't matter if it looks like you had the boyfriend or the partner that messed you around. It doesn't matter whether or not you feel like you are alone and lonely right now. The feeling that you're having is coming completely from what you're telling yourself right now. And what the course is trying to do is get you to the point you will give yourself new interpretations of every single thing that's happened to you. Because when you get these new ways of interpreting it, then you will have a new way of feeling about it, and you'll feel more peace. Now, what's the advantage of that? The Course says when you achieve peace of mind through changing your interpretation of what happened, then you're at the state of mind that you can hear, God, Spirit, your inner voice, yours, your higher self, telling you, check this out, exactly what to do in these situations. Your inner self will tell you how to deal with your loneliness. It'll tell you who to call. It'll tell you where to go. It'll tell you what attitudes to take. See, the Course says we totally lost touch with home base. We are in such conflict in our minds that we don't even know how to listen to our inner guide, and most people don't even think they've got one. Okay, so the real, as far as the Course in Miracles is concerned, it's only concerned about your perceptions of your life. So if a person comes to a Course class and they're looking for information on how to deal with a person out there, then they're going to get disappointed, because it's really about dealing with the person in your mind first, so that you can achieve such a peace of mind that you can hear Spirit, your Spirit, saying to you, you know what your spirit will say to you when the next person shows up, when you learn how to listen to it? It'll say, don't give them your phone number. It'll say, don't enter a partnership. It'll say, turn around and go in the other direction, because this wouldn't be for your own best. And so your spirit told you that as soon as you met the guy. Your spirit told you that when you got the lawyer. But you didn't hear it. You know why? Because you were listening to the voice you made up. You are listening to your own advice to yourself. And the Course says there's always one way you can always tell when you're listening to your ego, because the result will not be bringing you peace. And that's as far as you need to go. It's like, if I'm not feeling peace, I ain't listening to my higher self. It's really just that simple. But the ego wants to make it more complicated than that. You see what I mean? So Every time you attempted to play the victim in the situation, and I'm not saying that at the level of the world there are not people out there who, obviously, there's a ton of people out there who are afraid and less than loving and believed of manipulation, control, and dishonesty. The real issue is, why in the heck did I attract them? So you know what I'm saying? It's like as long as I don't answer that question, as long as I keep going, I'm really nice Earl Purdy. I'm this nice little energetic person. And all I'm doing is attracting these slobs, these people who misuse me and abuse me. See, that as long as I keep that attitude, I will continue to draw those kind of people because they are coming to me over and over and over in order to get me to see that the common denominator in every situation that I've ever been in is me. The one person that's been in every relationship I've ever been in is me. The one person that's been in, you know what I'm saying? Who is it that's been with you in every situation that you've ever been in? It's you. So for us to continue to want to overlook that we're the common denominator is totally insane. But we do it. We'll just overlook it. Just say, oh, I'm just meeting this bad person and that bad person and this bad person and that bad person. It's like, okay, well, why? Have you ever asked yourself, why? But not in the sense of beating myself up, not in the sense of knocking myself and saying that, oh, I'm just this pitiful person, I just have such a poor judge of character. Because what? Guilt feelings, angry feelings are preservers of the ego. So your ego loves it when you beat yourself up, even if you beat yourself up about why you weren't most spiritual. That's still you beating yourself up. So it's still increasing your fear. Even if I'm using a spiritual reason to beat myself up. So if you were to just go today and say, hey, you know what? The truth is, no matter what's happened to me up to this point, I want to see things differently. I want another way to look at everything that's happening to me right now. I want another perception of my relationships. I want another perception of this situation. The Course says that is the request that calls in the reinforcements. So it's not about bashing the victim. It's not about beating yourself up. It's just saying, okay, I'm going to start with my feelings. I'm going to claim that if there's nothing else I have something to do with, I do have something to do with how I'm feeling about this. And don't repress your feelings. Like you said, you felt angry. Go ahead and feel your anger. You go, you know, at least I can decide, you know, I'm really angry about that right now, and I really feel mad about that, and I'm really upset about this, and I really feel hopeless in this situation, and I really feel frustrated in this situation, and you know what? I hope I'm wrong. See, that's what you got to end it with. You tell yourself all the stuff you're feeling. I'm mad. I want to leave. I want to attack them. I think they're hard. Whatever your ego tells you, then at the end of it, you go, and I hope I'm wrong. And your ego says, well, suppose you're not wrong. No, you want to be wrong about whatever perception you are using that's debilitating you. You want to be wrong about however you're looking at it, it keeps your heart shut down. It keeps your peace shut down. Because everything that you attract to you is going to come out of your consciousness. It's going to come out of your feeling. It's going to come out of your connection to spirit. So your number one priority has got to be, I'm going to maintain my own peace at all costs, and that's going to be my first priority. Now, out of my peace, I will deal with my lawyer. Out of my peace, I will deal with the swindler. Out of my peace, I will deal with my loneliness. Out of my peace. You see what I'm saying? But the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to work on my peace of mind. And I'm going to stop making it so that my peace of mind is impossible for me to achieve by making my peace of mind rest on me trying to control another person outside of me that I can't possibly control.
Praise God.
You know, you hear me, y'all? You with me on this? You understand? You know, you hear me? I mean, if you listen to what I'm saying, then you know that what I'm saying is true.
Totally.
That no matter what the situation is, and I'm not denying that we could be in some really challenging situations, but you have to admit that whatever you're feeling right now, sitting up in this room right now, you've got to be the one that's making you feel it. And so the Course, the beauty of the Course is that it says, if you study me, if you do these workbook lessons, if you use these ideas, I guarantee you that you are going to achieve peace of mind. And out of that peace of mind, all this stuff out here that you're tripping about, all this stuff out here that you're going crazy trying to manipulate, you will be given guidance about how to deal that will allow you to resolve this situation in total peace. But it comes from learning how to listen to Holy Spirit, your higher self. And that's the purpose of the Course. is to remove the blocks to learning how to hear guidance. And people miss that about it. It's not concerned about your external situation. It's about getting you to a state of mind that you can receive your own answers from within that will give you a resolution that's peaceful for you. That's what it's about.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what my classes are about. And when people come to a course class and they think it's about manifesting anything other than peace of mind, they miss the whole purpose of the course. It's not about helping you get that car. It's about you not losing your peace and still getting where you need to get to if you don't have a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, then once you make the car, the necessity to get to where you want to go, now you possibly slowed everything down because there might be a way for you to get to that place right now, but not in your own car.
Yeah.
So the minute you come up with the way you think something has to go for you to get what you want, in most cases, the book is saying you're just slowing yourself down. Because now you've made this thing a prerequisite for you to have the peace you want, where you could just go directly to the peace. I could take you directly to the peace. Earl wants to go downtown today, but he's got to have his own car to go downtown. Well, suppose Earl doesn't have a car, but he's got to have his car to go downtown. Well, suppose I say to the universe, you know, I know I'm not alone, and I know I have guidance, and I know I have help, and for whatever reason, I need to get downtown. And I have perfect faith in the Holy Spirit to give me the correct perception of getting downtown. And the funny thing about it, as soon as you let go of your attachment, usually the way to have it, if it's meant for you to have it, will manifest. But Bonnie might say to me, Earl, I'll give you a lift downtown. But see, if I go, no, Bonnie, I'm not going to let you give me a lift downtown because I'm only going downtown in my car. It's got to be my car. Then I go downtown. Or when I hear people say, I really want to have a relationship. I really want to have love in my life. And then they'll say, and it's got to be you. See, I just messed up. Suppose she's ready to put out a restraining order if I come within 10 feet of her. Okay, then I got to try to convince her that I'm trustworthy, get her to go downtown and get rid of the restraining order. But the truth is, she could have been just totally ready to go out with me right now if I had just said, I want the right loving relationship for me. But the minute you decide on the form of what you want, you have lost the understanding of its purpose. Because then the thing becomes more important than the thing that you say you want the thing for. And so then all of a sudden, instead of me having somebody that loves me, I'm going, it's got to be you that loves me. And so then I got to try to manipulate him into loving me. You see what I'm saying? But if I go, I want to recognize the love that I have already received, that I already deserve. I know the Spirit knows the people who would love me the way I am, who would benefit through me the way I am, and with me the way that I am, and I would be totally pleased with them, and they would be totally pleased with me. I don't know who that is at an ego level, but I am willing to have it. It'll come to me 1,000 times faster than when I sit down and decide who in this room I want. Now, if I do decide who I want, then I can extend to them. If they don't respond, that's my clue. So it's not saying I could have a preference to go out with you, and I could say I want to go out with you, but if all I get back is fear, then I know that we still could probably hang, but we got to do some serious forgiving, some serious communication, and some serious work. And so you got to ask yourself, do I really want to start off working? You know what I'm saying? Because even the best of relationships, after a while, you usually have to make some adjustments and learn. So why do I want to start off with you and me processing all the time and me trying to convince you that I'm okay? You know, you follow what I'm saying? So what the course does is it allows you to have peace by giving you vision. And it defines vision as you knowing the consequences of your action before you even take it. And that's how it defines vision. It's like you already know before you do it what's going to be the result. That's vision. You know what I'm saying? If I already see you don't trust me, then I have vision. Now, if I go ahead and decide to deal with you anyway, then number one, I've got to take full responsibility for the experience that I'm having with you because I knew that it was not in harmony at the very beginning because you oppose me from the very beginning. So I can't spend all my time trying to get you to change for me when you already showed me at the very beginning that you didn't feel open and you didn't feel connected and you didn't feel trust with me. It's really that simple. And so the course is going to teach you, this which is really cool, it's going to teach you how to tell when you walked up on an insane, fearful mind that would deceive you, attack you, and hurt you so that you won't get into it in the first place. And then if you've already done that, it teaches you how to use that to take you to a level of consciousness that you'll never do it again. And it teaches you how to forgive yourself for that and love yourself for that lesson. So even if you did do it wrong, you're going to be corrected and loved. But if you're conscious, you'll learn how to not even get into it in the first place. So the first thing we need to do right now then is to claim that everything that's happened to us up until this point was for our own best interest, because it brought us to the point we are right now, where we are choosing for peace and a room full of other people that are choosing for peace too. So that goes to show you that it's a part of you that must really be loving you, because it sets you right square down in a room where you were totally reminded of your innocence and that you are not alone and that you're going to be helped and that it was a learning experience and that there is a choice that you can make to bring you the kind of joy and the kind of peace that you deserve. And it was a part of you that brought you here, and that part of you created this, so you know it's in you. Do you know the love is in you? Okay.
Wow.
So I'm gonna stop right here.
Woo!
I appreciate y'all. You know what I'm saying. So I'm going to do the love offering, and thank you for sharing with me. I'm a full-time teacher of the Course in Miracles, and I live from the love offerings that I receive in my classes. So I appreciate those of you who, especially who share financially in the class. It allows me to still be at the church and everything. Thank you.
Well, we're passing the love offering.
I'm going to get it there.
He wasn't going to let me in.
You reach a point on the spiritual path that truth is trying to save you, even when you're upset by it, looking like the person not even cooperating with you to let you go the wrong way. He wasn't even going to let you in to go the wrong way. Isn't that something?
It was funny. I mean,
because you keep doing, I'm telling you, those of you who, though I know the Course is not the easiest book to read, but please understand that people do not read the book not because it's hard to read. Your motivation hasn't gotten to the point yet that it needs to get to.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's all it is. You haven't gotten motivated enough, which means you haven't seen clearly what it can bring you. And the once you see how much easier it can make your life, and once you start to see what I call the magic happens, when you really start to read it, and you'll start to watch, even though you heard me talk all day about it not being the outer, here's the weird part about studying the Course that I've experienced with many people and myself, is that those who actually do study the Course, then those situations out there somehow or another just start to right themselves and correct themselves as if almost like magic. But not if you shucking and jiving, but I mean if you really are putting forth some little bit of willingness to get it. So it's weird. It's like it doesn't talk about the outer, but I read a million manifestation books, visualization books, and those things work. I'm not saying that the magic doesn't work. But if you don't love yourself and you still have those guilt feelings, when you get through with all your manifesting, you'll be miserable in your rich house, you'll be miserable in your new car, you'll be miserable in your new relationship, because you're still bringing the same attitude into the physical manifestation. And most people are focusing on the physical manifestation because they think the physical manifestation is going to make them feel better. And they don't realize you're going to take your consciousness into any physical manifestation that you manifest. So you can just come up with fancier ways to make yourself unhappy if you don't love yourself. Or you could say, I'm going to get my consciousness corrected first so that whatever I manifest, I allow myself to have peace. Now you're really cooking. So so thank you for bringing up what you brought up today, because what you shared is what all of us go through and what all of us have gone through and what some of us are going through right now. The Course in Miracles is for people who are willing to admit they have some things in their life that they need to reperceive. It will not have meaning to a person who is what I call a bliss ninny. Somebody who believes that it's all about being positive every second and every minute and any feelings that you have that are less than loving to yourself. Because all you're doing then is just sweeping it all under the rug, and it's going to come out of your life in other ways. I'd much rather be around somebody who's just like you and say, hey, you know, I was afraid, I was lonely, I'm upset, I'm scared, than be around somebody and say, I love everybody, and I love everything, and I have no negative thoughts about anything, but I'm in this world. What are you doing here then? That's what I always want to ask them. Well, what are you here for? What, I can help y'all? You know, because I don't have any fear of conflict. Okay, and then you listen to their conversation, and then it won't be 15 minutes before you hear about 9 or 10 things that they wish were different, or they've got some drama around. You're like, well, maybe you're in denial. And you need to realize that denial is not a river in Egypt. You know what I'm saying? It's not. It's not, okay? All right? So you're getting ready to go out in the lab. And when you get in those situations where you're about to lose your temper or you lose your temper, try to remember me. You know, just try to remember that. Just picture me in your mind telling you that, you know, that might be a mistake. A mistake is for correction. But you're really innocent and you're not alone. You know, sometimes just thinking of a person can bring back the truth to your mind. Because the person can be symbolic of that. So see me as symbolically representing your innocence. And then I'll do the same thing with you because I use you the same way. When I think I'm by myself and I think that nobody else sees it the way I do, then I think about the people that come to these classes. And I go, you know, Earl, you're not alone. There are other people that want the same thing that you want. We are so blessed to have each other beyond our wildest dreams. And most of us are loving each other so much that we're not even trying to get into personal relationships with each other. We don't even know each other past when we leave out the door. They just help us.
I think you're really good at that, though. Supporting, I'll speak for myself,
mm-hmm.
What a concept. supporting someone's innocence, though.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not, and people don't understand, I'm not saying that there are not behaviors that are errors.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Your core self, who you were as created by the infinitely loving creator, your real identity is innocent. You may have covered it up with guilt thoughts and guilt actions.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. So I'm not saying that you know, you're innocent, you go out and you mug, you know, you hurt a little child, that's okay. What I'm saying is that's an error. That's a big mistake. That's a big mistake that needs to be corrected. But that core individual, who they were really created as, is still innocent. It still is there. And until we focus on that part of ourselves, we'll never see it in other people until we focus on it. Until we believe it's there even if we don't see it. And that's what I try to do with all of you. I go, I don't care what you're going through, I really believe there's a part of you that's loving and lovable. Even if I don't see it right now, I'm going to support that is there.
If you don't see the hidden agenda, you know, like, oh, well, I don't think that. Mm-hmm. That's not me yet. It's right here in my face, in my world. Do you do the same thing? I'd like a reinterpretation of my hidden agenda because I didn't know I thought that.
That's what's so cool about it is no matter what the situation, the answer is always the same. So therefore, you don't have to figure out what to do in different situations. You do the same thing.
Okay.
In every situation. You use that situation as another opportunity to remind yourself of the truth. Any of it. Okay? So the idea that we're going out for this week is we got an election to make, and we're going to choose to have the pain exchange for the peace this week. And we're going to forgive ourselves if we lose it. We're going to realize that was just our call for love. That was my opportunity to learn. I'm a learner too. Remember that. You're a learner too. Readiness is not mastery. That's a great line out of that book. Mm-hmm. Readiness is not mastery. Remember that. All right, I'll see you next time. Yeah. And copies of the class are available on CD for $5 if you'd like to order one so that you can hear it again. And hugs are available also.